The 27th Qatari Peace Conference takes place on Friday and Saturday in Fonda, New York, titled Palestine and Israel, Tragedy, Trauma, Truth, and Compassion. For a preview, we welcome one of the main speakers of the conference, Phyllis Bennis. Bennis is an American writer, policy analyst, and lifelong activist known for her focus on the Middle East and United Nations issues. She directs the New Internationalism Project at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and is a fellow of the Transnational Institute in Amsterdam. Bennis has been deeply involved in peace and Palestinian rights movements since her activism during the Vietnam War. Bennis is a prominent critic of U.S. foreign policy, Israeli occupation and militarism, advocating for Palestinian rights and democracy within the UN. She has authored over a dozen books, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Phyllis Bennis to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you this morning.
I am very happy you are here. I'm very happy to know you'll be in our region speaking. Give us a sense of what you hope to accomplish within your talk at this conference over the weekend.
Well, you know, this is a very dark time in a whole host of ways, both in the U.S. with militarism on the rise in our city streets and militarism on the rise in so many other places around the world. A big part of my focus is on what's going on in Gaza, where we've seen a huge escalation underway, paid for with our tax money, carried out with our weapons, provided to Israel without any sort of conditionalities, the assault on journalists, the killing the other day of six journalists, including the much beloved and well-known Anas al-Sharif from Al Jazeera, who was killed. He was, you know, one of the key figures in operating now among the journalists in Gaza, and it's sort of shocking that he was killed at the ripe old age of 28. They're all so extraordinarily young. And that was, you know, the latest six out of what I think the total now is about 220, some maybe a bit more than that, of journalists alone that have been killed in Gaza in this almost 2 years of war. That's more journalists than have been killed in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and Korea combined in that tiny space, that tiny territory, and that very small length of time, ultimately, relative to these other wars. So it's one more shocking number that impacts people so profoundly. We just reached 62,000 people known to have been killed by the Israeli military assault. About half of them are children, and another 238, I think so far, deaths by hunger, again, half of them children. And this is something that's very, very hard for people to wrap their heads around, despite the fact that we're seeing a huge rise in the opposition movement. You know, 70% of Democrats now say that there should be no more military aid to Israel. I think it's 61% of all voters say there should be conditionalities on any military aid that's sent. So we have these extraordinary shifts in the public discourse, but at the same time, the democracy in our country is flawed enough that those discourse shifts, those massive shifts in public opinion, in media coverage, as limited as the mainstream media still is, it's head and shoulders above what it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 years ago at the beginning of this genocidal war. So all of that is underway right now, and it makes it very hard for people to figure out how to think about it. What do we do about it? What's our obligation? So I'm hoping to have some discussion about those issues at the Qatari conference next weekend.
So in the two or three minutes that we have, talk about what you feel our obligation is, of what we should be doing.
Well, I think the first question is our obligation. That's as a country, as a government.
Yes.
Our first obligation is to stop sending arms. U.S. arms amount to 70% of the arms that Israel is using in this war, and we fund 40% of the entire Israeli military budget. That should be a shocker right there. We keep being told there's just not enough money for jobs and health care and education and all the things that keep us safe in this country. And why is that? Well, part of it is we're spending half of the discretionary income available to Congress on the military. This year, we're going into a $1 trillion budget for the military. And part of that money goes directly to the Israeli military to use in this genocidal war, which makes us a party to it, not just complicit, not just supporting it, but really a party to genocide. And because we are also a signatory to the Genocide Convention, that convention is different than some other kinds of international law because it puts obligations on the countries that sign on to the treaty, which is most countries in the world, of course, including the United States, including Israel, who are violating the convention on a daily basis. But it puts a requirement that a country that sees the possibility of a genocide coming must do everything in its power to prevent it. And if there is a genocide underway, to do everything in its power to stop it. Mm. The U.S. government, our government, with our tax money, is doing the opposite. It's sending the weapons that enable this genocide. It's paying for most of them. It's allowing the rest of them to be purchased without any conditions, in violation not only of international law, but of a host of U.S. laws as well. The Leahy Law, the Arms Export Control Act, there's about six of them, separate laws that prohibit us from sending arms to an army, to a government that is using them to violate international law. We know that's what's going on, and yet the U.S. continues to do it. That's the government side. Our obligation as people, as taxpayers, and those of us who are citizens, as voters, is to hold our government to account, to demand more forcefully than ever that they stop sending the weapons. There must be sanctions imposed on Israel. And, you know, I know we only have another couple of minutes, but I want to just say one thing. Which is,
actually, 30 seconds, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We know this works from the model of the South African anti-apartheid movement. When there was a movement powerful enough in this country to force the government to do what it didn't want to do, to finally impose sanctions against apartheid South Africa. We can do that again here against apartheid Israel that is carrying out this genocide. That's what we need to figure out a strategy for. That's what our movements need to be working on.
Phyllis Bennis will be at the 27th Qatari Peace Conference on Friday and Saturday, the 22nd and 23rd. The conference is taking place in Fonda, New York. You can find out more information about the conference and those events by going to KatariPeaceConference.org. That's KATERI, KatariPeaceConference.org. Phyllis, thank you very much for sharing with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. It was glad to be with you.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information by going to KatariPeaceConference.org, happening this weekend on the 22nd and 23rd. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.